Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to Living with Emunah. Thank you for your flexibility, Baruch Hashem, another simcha to travel to this week. Next week, we're back, our regular schedule Wednesday, but it's so meaningful to me that you are here on a Monday and flexible with your schedule. I greatly appreciate it. Our Emunah series is generally sponsored by Drs. Avi and Bella Morgan in memory of Rabbi Dr. Brian Galbit and in memory of Bella's mother, Dr. Ellen Chanzer. We remain deeply indebted to the Morgans for their generosity. They also sponsor as a shmira over our holy, precious IDF soldiers. May they be safe while they protect our people. Series is also generously sponsored anonymously in memory of the fallen soldiers and alumni of B'nai David Mechina and Yeshiva and Eli. This morning's shir is sponsored by Shmuel and Esther Shire to the Nishmas' father Yaakov Yehuda ben Gedalia and in discourse of Refo Shlema for her mother Batsheva Bas Bluma Rivka and by the Shuchman family in memory of their grandmother Holocaust survivor Rivka Bas Yechiel Michel, whose Yurtzet is on the 19th of Sivan. A big thank you to all of our generous sponsors. There are source sheets here if you'd like to learn inside with us. We've also posted it to the WhatsApp group themselves. But as always, we begin with a few emails. And we read these emails not simply to distract or divert or avoid having to prepare a shir. We read these emails because we darshan them, we learn them. The emails themselves are a demonstration. The emails are manifesting what we're learning, putting it into practice as an example and model for all of us to hopefully follow. Dear Rabbi Goldberg, meaning to write for a few months, but never made the time until now. The push got me to write was my own Tehillim Chaf Gimel sighting and the hug from Hashem I felt with it. I'm 25 years old, the oldest of my family. She describes a particular challenge or issue she was going through when on a Friday, she was very upset. She wanted a break. There were two more hours until Shabbos coming in. I decided to leave the house and go to Target to cool down and gather my thoughts. Due to the Friday afternoon traffic, Waze instructed me to get off at an exit before I usually do, and take some side streets to get to Target. I'd never gone this way before, and had never seen the streets in my life. As I was nearing Target, I was waiting by a traffic light and looked out my window to see a shop awning with Hebrew writing on it. This area isn't part of the Jewish community, so I was surprised to see Hebrew letters. As I got closer to the shop, I felt Hashem gave me a huge warm hug. Someone's frustrated, had a certain conflict, just went for a ride, couple hours to Shabbos, retail therapy, Target. Target solves all the problems. Certainly does not. Creates sometimes some new ones. But anyway, as she's driving in this area not near her home, on the awning some Hebrew. And what was on the awning in quotations? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Psalm 23. Here it is. A tire store. And on the awning of the tire store, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Not in a Jewish neighborhood, not in a religious neighborhood. A tire store with Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Can I throw this out now? I don't know. Shem Hashem. It wasn't written exactly by, I don't know who printed it. In that moment, I felt Hashem was telling me that he saw how hard I worked, how frustrated I was, my potential to do better. I also felt he was reminding me that my pekalach and life aren't random. It was all designed by him and he knows what I need the best. If Hashem gave me this, it must mean I needed to become the best version of myself I can be. It was so comforting to feel. Although I feel like I did the wrong thing, reacted the wrong way, Hashem is with me on my journey. He's with me every step of the way, even when I mess up. Thank you for helping me find my Emunah glasses. How to use them, I'll admit, I don't always see the winks and hugs from Hashem, but I'm trying to get better at identifying everyday moments with each shir I listen to. Thanks again. That's the idea. We've been focused on extending our antenna, picking up the signal, looking for the hugs and the winks, the nods from Hashem, just when we need them. And whether it's a pick-me-up, whether it's some feedback, whatever the message is, but to feel and to know that Hashem is in constant communication with us. And that is a theme of so many of the correspondence. Hope you're well, Rabbi Goldberg. Shirim, appreciate the time. Yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for the compliments and the kind words. Yeah, let's skip down to going through a hard time, shidduchim, feeling alone, drained, speaking to Hashem. That night I spoke to Hashem after Kriyat Shema, and I said, I have no clue how this can turn around, but I know Hashem is kol yachol. Hashem is capable of all. Nothing is beyond him. The next morning things were turning in the right direction. Far from over, but the moment was huge to see how Hashem heard me by giving me a glimpse of hope. I kept asking Hashem for a win, something small, give me some chizuk. Although these requests aren't always answered right away, I was grateful to hear that in a span of 12 hours, two Rebbeim I often listen to the shir and were speaking in my hometown, the Five Towns. Thank you for coming all the way to Lawrence and giving your Wednesday morning shir. When one works for herself, there are some busier weeks and quieter weeks. Same goes for Shidduchim. I've been in touch. I've been in both for about the same amount of time. I've learned the hard way that although the quiet times are frustrating, I prefer it to the wrong type of noise. That being said, the quiet times get disheartening, making one question what else there is to do, if anything, in terms of Ishtadlis. I took advantage of the sunny weather this afternoon, and while I walked on the boardwalk, I saw a woman with a tattoo, which read, Exodus 14:14. Nothing like seeing someone with a tattoo and having to do your research. Then you got to go look it up. Got to go walk on the boardwalk with a Tanakh in case you run into someone with a tattoo. And you got to carry a chumash with you. Baruch Hashem, in today's smartphone, one of the blessings of technology is you have Kol HaTorah Kula at your fingertips. I found that basically discusses how Moshe gives Bnei Yisrael chizik of let go and let God just before the splitting of the sea. I'm still waiting to have my own Psalm 23. This is exactly what I needed at the time. Another reminder of doing effort, but maintaining the awareness of where it all comes from. I'm happy I was able to experience living with the Munashir in person. Look forward to coming down to Boca to hear it again. Again, you see someone with a tattoo. Why'd they get that tattoo? Why'd they cross your path? Why are you on the boardwalk? Why are you walking opposite them? Why'd you notice it at that moment just when you need to hear it? We can live our lives and should live our lives feeling it's not random. And these aren't isolated. And they're not chance and they're not coincidence, but Hashem is talking to us. He's communicating to us in these moments when we choose to see and read and feel His presence and in that way. Hope all is well. Akar Satov, the Shir. I was supposed to be in seminary in Eretz Yisrael this year. But 3 days before I was supposed to leave, I found out I have a very sick heart and I was in desperate need of a heart transplant. A young girl finished high school on her way to Israel for her year, and 3 days before she's supposed to leave, learns that she needs a heart transplant. When I found this out, I was in complete shock. I don't know how, but some crazy wave of emuna came over me. And I kept saying to myself, I'm exactly where Hashem wants me to be. These words gave me a lot of comfort, but eventually it didn't. And I was really struggling. My mother's a frequent listener of Emunah Shir, and anytime I would be in the car with her, the Shir would be playing. I always heard what I needed to hear, and it was a constant chizik boost when I needed it most. Baruch Hashem, I had a successful transplant the third night of Hanukkah. Crazy story into itself. My recovery is going really well. Thank you for the chizik. It's a huge source of strength as I get through these difficult times. Happen to know this young lady indirectly and understand she is an extraordinary young woman. She should have a complete and speedy refuah shlema and get to go where she wants to go and experience everything she deserves to experience. And kol hakavod. 3 days before, it's not like she knew her whole life. She likely wouldn't be able to go with her friends because she'd need it. All's hunky-dory, you're assigned, you got your roommate, you're ready, your bags are packed. 3 days before going. And that capacity, that ability to pivot and to realize, Api Hashem Yachanu, the Api Hashem Yisau. This week's parasha, we mentioned it last night in the parasha shir we also gave earlier this week because of Baruch Hashem, the Simcha travel schedule. But our parasha Baaloscha says, Api Hashem Yachanu, the Api Hashem Yisau. Our goings and our comings, our travel, our journeys, and our encampments, they're all Api Hashem. Hashem is directing, He's dictating. And that's why this is the source, I mentioned it last night, for Embrace Your Place. It's not some cliche. We didn't come up with it to put on a pillow for your couch, on a throw pillow. This isn't just a bumper sticker or for your mirror, although those are all good places to put it too. This is a way of life. It's a way of thinking. This is an existence. It's a mentality. It's an attitude. It's a personality. To embrace our place and to know we are where we're meant to be. And you'll say, where'd you come up with that? Is that just some coping mechanism? Is that the opium of the masses? Is that some drug that we take to numb ourselves to the reality that we desperately don't want to be there? And the answer is a big fat no. It's a pasuk in our parsha. Api Hashem Yachanu, the Api Hashem Yisau. Where we go and where we stay. When we go and how we stay. While we are always where we're meant to be because it's all Api Hashem. You can fight it. Try to overcome it. Take our initiative. We make our effort. We do all we can. But ultimately, and in the end of the day, and this is the attitude. This is what the Emunah Shir is all about. When it comes to initiative, effort, action, it's all up to us. But when it comes to the results and the outcome, after the fact, we surrender, we submit, we recognize it's all up to Him. We do everything in our power, everything in our possibility. But then, when we're done, it's Api Hashem. Api Hashem, Yachanu. This is where we have to be. This young lady, this outstanding young lady, was on her way to Israel for her gap year, her seminary year, her year that everyone looks forward to. And Hashem said, nope, Api Hashem Yachanu, unpack. You're going to be camping out here for a little while. You need a new heart. Api Hashem Yachanu. And please God, she'll have a full recovery, and Hashem will determine Api Hashem Yisau. It'll be time to go, whether it's for a trip, half a year, or making up for a gap year, or where she goes next, I don't know. But it'll be Api Hashem. We make our effort, we take our initiative, but in the end of the day, it is up to Hashem. It's not ours. And that's easy to say when it all works out and it's all smooth. When you get off the plane, which too often we forget to do, to say, wow, took off on time and we landed early and my seat was comfortable and everything on the plane worked and what I got done and I had my snack and my drink and none of it landed on my lap and it's all, wow. We fail to often say thank you. We're the first to complain and notice when there's a glitch, a delay, something goes wrong. We're unhappy. We didn't get the right seat. The guy next to us took the armrest the whole time, and he's our husband. I can't even believe it. That we find a way to complain about. But when it all happens smoothly and seamlessly, and it happens exactly the way we drew it up, do we stop and say, Modim anachnu lach, Hashem, thank you. Wow, that was amazing. The default these days in travel is that something's going to go wrong. If it doesn't, you've just experienced a miracle. I'm not exaggerating. TSA, tower, strikes, delays, airlines going under. With all the issues out there, if things worked out smoothly and seamlessly, and this is my form of a tefillah to Hashem for our travel tomorrow, then it's a miracle you experience. How do you not say thank you, even for minor miracles? Api Hashem Yisau, v'api Hashem Yachanu. It's all. So it's easy. It's easy when it comes to the flight. But when it comes to a heart transplant in the last moment, when your bags were already packed, and to be a young lady who writes an email that says, I accept it, it's from Hashem. I realize He's in charge, He's in control. I surrender to Him, I'm on this adventure called life, and we'll find out what comes next. That's impressive. That's a sheer. That's inspiring. So thank you for writing it. And now a more difficult one. I've been listening to the sheer for years, but events this week have compelled me to write. Our community was rocked by the sudden death of one of our members. 23-year-old woman from the Chabad community, married less than a year and 35 weeks pregnant with her first child, died of a ruptured aneurysm during Shavuos. No preceding signs. The baby may be gravely injured, is currently in the NICU. I'm in the medical field and have spoken with people who were in the hospital. I'm sure they did all they could to save her. I heard the prolonged and ultimately unsuccessful attempt at resuscitation cast a pall on all the staff there. Every healthy delivery is a miracle. A miracle. In antiquity, they knew that because it was common and frequent that women did not survive childbirth. The choice to have a baby was a life and death choice. It was a risk. Today, we live in such an incredible time that we take for granted that it's a smooth and healthy delivery. It's only a question of how long the insurance will let you stay in the hospital. You get out, all is good. But it's not so simple. And stories like this break our hearts. They're devastating. And they're also a reminder of the miracle that is a healthy delivery, not only of a healthy baby who has all limbs and organs and everything well. Our community went through a loss recently of dear member's grandson who was born with a terrible illness, wasn't expected to live, lived 5 months, and then soul left this world. When a baby's born healthy, it is a miracle. I've told the story so many times, I won't repeat it. But of the head of the NICU who took other doctors on a tour of his hospital, a good friend of my parents, parent of one of my good friends, and they said, wow, it's miracles. Have you ever seen today the pictures or videos, the image of a baby that fits in the palm of your hands, born so prematurely, and yet science can keep them alive? And he turned to this group of doctors on this tour and he said, this isn't the miracles. You want to see miracles? And he took them to the baby nursery where the healthy babies were. And he said, the NICU is where all the babies should be with all that could go wrong. But the nursery, the healthy babies born with all their parts and everything working right, that's the miracle. That's the miracle. And the fact that a woman survives childbirth with everything that could go wrong, there are all kinds of halachic questions that come up. Can a woman choose to be induced? Can a woman be induced? So that's a halachic question. It's a halachic question for two reasons. One you might expect and one you wouldn't. When a woman is in labor, it's a life-threatening situation. Can you elect, can you choose to go into a life-threatening situation? It's a halachic question. In the poskim, the halachic authorities say, if it's medically mandated, then yes. The doctor says you're running low on fluid, whatever the circumstances are, gestational diabetes, the baby's getting large, we need to deliver you early. If you're inducted for medical reasons, absolutely. But if you say, I love that birthday, it'd be so cool that day. Doctor going on vacation maybe is a medical reason. You want that doctor who's followed you the entire time. They're going on vacation, that could be a medical reason. But if it's you want to be that sign, that horoscope, whatever, that's not a medical reason. And that doesn't give you a right to elect to put yourself in a life-threatening, it's a life-threatening situation, as sadly we see in this email. Second reason why it's a halacha question. Believe it or not, it's brought down in the Tshuva's Ber Moshe. Deborah Tzinri brings down, because what is the baby doing in the womb? What's the baby occupied with the entire gestational period, 9 months? Baby's learning Torah with the Malach. The baby spends this time learning the totality of Torah. When they're born, they cause to forget, which is a whole separate reason for another time. What's the point? Why learn if you're only going to cause the baby to forget? Soloveitchik says, because that's what plants the pintle yid in every Jew. When we learn Torah, we say, that's familiar. I feel like I've seen this before. I've heard this before. I've been here before. That feels familiar because we have. What gives us that familiarity? What gives us that holy Jewish spark? What gives us that pintle yid is the fact that we have been there before. So you're going to cut that Seder short. You're going to cut that learning short. You're going to induce and you're going to end that learning that could have gone on longer, only when it's medically mandated. You can't do it just because you want. But it's a miracle. When a woman survives childbirth, it's a miracle. When a healthy baby is born, it is a miracle. And that's what this email is reminding us. But he continues. I've thought about the Emunah Shir a lot during this time. Some of your lessons have resonated with me, and others I find unhelpful for real trials is this. Either one chooses to see the world through Emunah tinted glasses, even though I sometimes worry this is pure self-deception, where it is viewed as pure chance, which leads to helpless despair. I don't see how it is helpful to say to oneself, you are where you're meant to be, as is often the summary of emails for this year. When true tragedy strikes, it may be better to simply admit we have no idea what Hashem has planned for us, or why righteous people have to mourn the death of their child and wife. I know you receive many emails, may not get to this one. Feel free to anonymously share its contents if you think it will be helpful. And I do think it will be helpful, and I want to address it. I'm not sure exactly. I read it as someone who's in pain, but I'm not sure I understand exactly what he's asking. Because that which we say to embrace our place and we are where we're meant to be, that which we say that all that happens and all that comes is from above, that nothing is chance and random, it's all carefully curated and choreographed, it's all meant and determined for us, doesn't mean therefore we embrace it with a smile, doesn't mean life is hunky-dory or kumbaya, doesn't mean the world goes the way we want or wish it would. It means that even when it doesn't, especially when it doesn't, we lean in to our relationship with Hashem, we don't lean out. We lean in and we find comfort and strength in knowing that what happened wasn't random or chance, even when it defies explanation and comprehension. We've gone through our share, our community, not me personally, chas v'shalom, but our community, and often I have a front row seat, to horrific tragedy, loss, pain, chronic pain and suffering. And in this moment, we don't flippantly hand a bumper sticker that says, you are where you're meant to be, embrace your place, you're all good to go, smile, it's what's meant for you. Chas v'shalom. We've had a horrible string. The last 6 weeks have just been filled with Shiva email after Shiva email after Shiva email. Comes in waves in our community. We can go periods with nothing, and sadly we've had now, hopefully it ends. Today someone got up from Shiva. The loss will dedicate our shir to also Rabbi Mordechai Cohn. The most cheerful, positive, loving, incredible, sweet, delicious Cohen who gave brachas and a kiss on the kepi to everybody he met. So, of course, when someone's sitting Shiva, what do you pay a Shiva call and say, forget Hamakom Yenachim Eschem. We've come up with a new thing to say. Instead of when you take leave at a Shiva call, embrace your place, you are where you're meant to be, sitting low on the ground with a torn shirt, miserable and crying. Chas v'shalom, of course not. It's never what we meant. It's never what you say in those moments, nor is it something that we impose on others. This attitude and this perspective, this statement of life is not something we impose or use to judge others. It's for us and for ourselves only. When others are going through a hard time, we're only meant to be there with them. Love and empathy and sympathy and support. When we are navigating the hardships of our lives, we're meant to remember, Api Hashem Yisoh, Api Hashem Yachanu. That where we go, our goings and our comings, it's all up to Hashem. Are we sitting on a regular chair or a low chair? Are we sitting in a NICU, an ICU, or are we sitting somewhere celebrating something? Api Hashem Yachanu v'api Hashem Yisau. It's all up to Him. That doesn't mean that we don't challenge Him, protest Him. We spent a long time in our shir talking about and justifying and giving license to be angry at Him. Hashem, where are you and how could you? And why would you? That too is an expression of faith and emunah. That too is faith and emunah. That's a fundamental of our shir. That we don't only surrender and submit with a smile. We don't just passively accept an outcome without protest, without appeal, without even anger. But an anger that brings us closer doesn't drive us further apart. An anger that expresses, I believe in you, I know you. An anger that we've discussed of Elie Wiesel, when they put Hashem on trial for what He did in the Holocaust, and the Beis Din found Hashem guilty, and they gave a clap and said, it's time for Mincha. That we can get angry and we can find Him guilty of causing us pain, and then we still give a clap and say, but it's time for Mincha. It's time to daven to Him. It's time to love Him and feel His love for us. It's time to say, despite the fact that I can't understand, don't understand, will never understand, have we not all drawn the most incredible chizuk from the most extraordinary people of these 3 years? We've earned and received greater teachers and rebbeim in these 3 years than maybe the longest time before it. And those who've lost family members in this war, hostages who suffered the worst unimaginable things, derech emunah bacharti, but they found Hashem in those places. Parents who've lost children fighting battles on front lines, who come out not asking where is God and how could God, but somehow are using it to feel and draw closer to God. So I understand this email that's written in pain. And nor would I ever suggest to this family or to that whole community that the punchline of embrace your place is somehow a medicine or a salve for that open wound. Of course, cry, grieve, mourn, be frustrated, be angry, but all of it with the recognition that it's from Hashem. What's the alternative? It was random? It was chance? It was chance? That's the alternative? That's the alternative? A ruptured aneurysm? Well, there's a certain amount of statistic aneurysms. That's the data. Had to go to someone and it went to her. That makes you feel better? That gives greater comfort and strength? I don't see it. I don't believe it. I think we're meant to live understanding and knowing it's all from above. It's all from above. So it's not cliched. And it's not meant to be used or deposited towards others. This is the attitude we're meant to have for ourselves of where we are, where we're meant to be. And yes, even when the person is low to the ground. The Rambam in Hilchos Avelos, the Rambam talks about mourning and grief is a time of tshuva. Not chalila to think what they went through is because of, God forbid, a punishment. How can we learn? How can we grow? How can we draw close? How could this become a springboard for a breakthrough in life? We never welcome, we never wanted, we'll never fully understand, and we still don't ever really accept what happened. But yet we choose to instead ask, lama, why? Lama, for what? How will we grow and what will we learn from it? So I understand the email from pain, but I don't think we say what he suggests we do. We never, chalila, suggest that we mean it in some trite fashion. It's always an orientation of life, that we calibrate where we are based on our relationship with Hashem to know that things come from Him and from above. Rabbi Gober, thank you for the shiurim. I had a difficult pregnancy filled with a lot of anxiety. Every week I would save the emunah shiur from my drive to the doctor and continue listening while I sat in the waiting room. I could listen to at least one shiur. I needed that constant reminder that everything is from Hashem no matter what. Toward the end, I ended up being induced on Erev Shabbos. It all happened quickly and last minute, and even after speaking with the Rav, I had questioned whether I made the right decision. Our Zahava Emunah, love the name, was born on Shabbos. In the recovery room they placed me in was room 613. It felt like such a clear hug from Hashem, reassuring me we made the right choice. She's now 3 months old, absolutely loves listening to the shiurim. Look at this Emunah listener right here. What a beautiful Emunah listener. The ladies, we should make Emunah onesies. I don't know, what would it say? See, Alana, you're here today, Dafka. You're here not by chance. We have to make Emunah onesies that we can send Amir Tzashem to all those who want to put their children in them to wish a mazel tov. What should it say, the Emunah onesies from the Emunah Shir? got to think of what it needs to say. Anyway, this picture is her lying this morning while listening to Turn Friday to Erev Shabbos. She's a fan and smiles whenever we put on the shiurim. Wait till she gets a little bit older. But okay, we'll take it for now. We'll take it for now. Okay, we got to get to our text, even though we've got a bunch more great, powerful loves and hugs from Hashem. I'm going to read part of another one. This one is a little lengthy. I'm going to leave out the other part, though it is also connected to a family. Parsha Shir is also now week. The series is dedicated in memory of Racheli Dykman, who also passed away on Purim morning in childbirth. Oh, a horrific tragedy. Also an outstanding person who also listened to our Shir. We feel connected to her, and the Parsha Shir is dedicated in her memory. So someone, a relative of her, wrote an email, but I want to just share this part of it. 2 days ago at the gym, a person was going through a hard time, understandably from that and other things. I saw a guy next to me doing something I was curious about. So I asked him what he was doing. I'll say based on the kind of shape he was in, he clearly knew about things and how to take care of the body Hashem gave him. He was perfectly helpful and answered my question. I thanked him for teaching me something. I asked him his name. He said, Roy. Maybe there was something in how he said it. I wanted to make sure I heard him correctly, so I repeated, Roy? And then he said with a thick Israeli accent that was totally absent when he answered my question before, not Roy, Roi, as in Hashem Roi lo echsar. I smiled. I told him that was a very nice name. We chatted a little more. I was glad I opted to wear a kippah at the gym. So what if I get a little sweaty? It's worth it to broadcast who I am and get into conversations like this. And then I was gobsmacked. First gobsmacked in an Emunah email. He was gobsmacked. That was a Psalm 23 sighting right there. How common a name is Roi in Israel anyway? Are people there hearing Psalm 23 all the time? So Hashem Roi. It was a Psalm 23 sighting at the gym when he asked the guy how to do that particular exercise. Roi, as in Hashem Roi Lo Echsa. One more short one. A few weeks ago, I told you I canceled the New York Times subscription after the rousing call to fight back after their blood libel. I don't miss their so-called news, but it's been harder for me to give up the crossword puzzle. For some people, they could give up their kidney faster than the New York Times crossword puzzle. I've been doing the New York Times crossword puzzle since I was 11 years old, writes the author of this email. A very long time. When I saw the puzzle today, I knew it was time to cut the cord. Look at the circled cues. There's a picture of the crossword puzzle. 30 down and 31 down. A clue with bacon right after a clue about kashrus. This is more than a wink and a nod from Hashem. I'm reading it as a direct communication that even the crossword puzzle of the New York Times is treif. So I'm going to stop all interaction immediately. I consider it personal. I don't know what specifically I'll do at the time. I just add it to my day. But I think it would be appropriate to study more Torah in that time. Wow. So says somebody who's studying more Torah maybe than anybody else in our community each day. Okay, back to our text. There are copies here, and we did put it in our WhatsApp group. We're learning this piece from Rav Shaul Alter, the Gerer Rosh Yeshiva, who's been taking us to Hashem Roi Lo Achsar. May we never be lacking in knowing. He is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. Sometimes we forget it. Horrific. Two women died in childbirth at young ages. It's easy to forget he's our shepherd in those moments, and that's David's request. By the way, did David say, Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack? Because he won the lottery, everyone, he and his family had good health, all he had was simcha and joy and success and triumph. No. David HaMelech studied Sefer Shmuel, and David HaMelech had an incredibly difficult life. Those learning Nachyomi. One day, it's on my list, I want to give a shiur. Really, I want to learn for myself, and the best way is to obligate myself by giving a shiur. But one day I want to give a shiur, I want to study Shmuel and Tehillim at the same time. Take a perek in Tehillim, and then study the story that inspired that kapitel. We read the Tehillim, but we take it out of the context. Every day we do it in our davening. Ashrei and all the halalukas are the very end of Tehillim. Hodu after Baruch Shamar is filled with psukim from Tehillim. So much of davening is Tehillim, in addition to Tehillim that people say daily, but we just mumble it, we say it, we don't even necessarily know the words, the poetry of it. But imagine if we studied the story, we put ourselves in the shoes, we felt that we were in the presence, We lived the narrative, and then we saw, and this is David's diary. This is the entry he wrote that day. This is the poem that he authored after that moment. And what were these stories in Tehillim, or that motivated Tehillim? What are these stories in Sefer Shmuel? He didn't have an easy life. I don't know, his father-in-law wanted to kill him, and his son wanted to kill him. When I say wanted to kill him, I don't mean like at the Shabbos table, he mutchered him and he wasn't kind to him and he grew impatient with him and his father-in-law wanted to kill him. I mean, his father-in-law tried to kill him, murder him, take his life. His son rebelled against him and tried to usurp the throne. His wife was embarrassed and ashamed of him, Michal. He went through an episode with Bathsheba, which we're not allowed to ascribe any guilt. We make a mistake to think he did. But he says about himself, the list goes on and on. David HaMelech, the people who hunted him, he had to hide. By the way, he wasn't selected. He wasn't appointed as the king with some coronation that it was clear from the beginning. It was the last choice of all of Yishai's kids, all of Yishai's sons. Only afterwards did Shmuel, when he was ready to give up, he said, oh yeah, there is one more. I mean, David HaMelech's life is filled with hardship, difficulty, disappointment, challenge, loss. How about the fact that he's told he doesn't get to build a Beis HaMikdash after he sacrifices so much and dedicates his life? And with all that, and navigating all that, and in hiding, and in fear, and in fighting, and in leading, and incorrigible people, David HaMelech authors Tehillim, and he says, Hashem Ro'i, you are my shepherd. Wherever I go, whatever I'm running from, where all my success and all my challenge, you're my shepherd, I shall not lack. I never lack knowing you're my shepherd. Whatever I have is what's meant for me. And even if I sustain loss and shame and embarrassment, and even though I'm running and fleeing for my life, and I'm regularly in frightening situations, I know it's all from you. I embrace my place because Api Hashem Yachanu v'Api Hashem Yisau, I know Hashem. You put me on that throne, that Ir David, if you haven't gone to visit, they keep uncovering more and more and more. And it's amazing to see the city of David. The city of David, which by the way, was designated as an American Heritage Site in Trump's first term. The president, really the vision of the Ambassador Friedman, our friend Ambassador Friedman, there's a huge plaque at Ir David, city of David. It's designated, why would it be an American Heritage Site in a section of Jerusalem that not all think is part of Jewish sovereignty? Because if America was founded first on Judeo values, they all come from Jerusalem, they come from David, they come from that place, and therefore it's an American heritage site, which is what the world needs to know. And as we celebrate the 250th anniversary of America, America first, to know where America first came from, and that if one wants to believe America first, then they should first support the U.S.-Israel relationship and recognize the Judeo founding of this great country. But in any case, David HaMelech, Hashem Ro'i Lo Achsar. So we've been learning to recognize, to understand that we take our initiative, we make our effort, but never fool yourself and think that the outcome correlates with what you did. It's an illusion. It's a matrix. It's a mirage. The reality is that the outcome and results are always from Hashem. We're in the middle of page 72. Ach! We're speaking on trusting and putting our faith in Hashem with all of our actions, with all of our efforts, with all of our work to work on our income. To have faith and to trust, to know that the Almighty does all. He uses both words, emuna, amen. Emuna is knowledge, there's a source of existence, a first cause. Liftoach means to then take our faith and our trust and put it in Him. Hamavtiach v'amiftach, to both trust Him, but to know that the outcome correlates with Him. Mod kasha lahasig zos. This is very difficult to achieve. This is very hard to live this level of mindfulness. That when we make our deals, when we deposit our paycheck, when we bring in our new client, when we land that new sale, when the stock that we went in went up, to know, we may think it's because of our ingenuity, our creativity, our entrepreneurship, but to recognize, no. Hashem used us, and through us that outcome came, but the outcome is entirely His, not ours. And why is it so challenging? Why is it so easily confused? Where do we go wrong in thinking that the outcome correlates with us instead of surrendering and recognizing it comes from Him? Because it all goes back to the original sin. What's the original sin, the real original sin? Adam Arishon, the Garden of Eden. When? Hashem says, you can have it all. It's all yours. That's why we call it the forbidden fruit. Why is that phenomenon called the forbidden fruit? When you can have absolutely everything but one thing, what do you want? The everything? No, you want the one thing. Adam HaRishon can have everything he wants. The shmorg is available to him. The world is his. There's one thing he and Chava are told, hands off. Can't have the Eitz Hadas. And what does he crave? The one thing he can't have. That's why Haman HaRasha, Hamin HaEitz, where is an allusion to Haman in the Torah? This Eitz, this tree of knowledge. Because Haman too had everyone bowing down in the world, but instead of seeing who bowed down, what did he want? All he saw was the thing he couldn't have. This is a situation that plagues us. It plagues us in our desire. It plagues us also in our appreciation of things. There's a phenomenon called the missing tile syndrome. People who walk into a room and instead of seeing every tile clean, pure, and perfect, all they see is, ooh, that tile is tilted. That tile is not perfect. That tile is a stain. That tile is missing. What type of person are you? The one who walks in and sees all the perfect tiles? Or the person whose eyes are drawn to the missing tile? That's true in the tiles in a ceiling. It's true sometimes in the way we see other people. Do you see all the attributes they have? All the good things they did for you? All the effort they made? All the wonderful times you have in the history of your friendship? Or are you drawn to the thing that's missing? But the one time you didn't answer my text. But the one time you did something that I didn't appreciate. But the one time you didn't reciprocate and invite me back. Do we see what's there or do we see what's missing? Do we see what we have or do we see what we don't? I read an article last week about, from my experience, making a few weddings, officiating a lot of weddings, and attending many, many weddings. Baruch Hashem, it can never be enough. I love going to weddings. I love simchas. So I offered some suggestions as people plan weddings. That was the article last week. One of them, which is very hard, I say it to myself with every simcha we've been zocha to make. Halavai, we should be able to say it more often. It's hard. You send the invitation when the response cards come in. The people who say they're coming, like they're a given. Yeah, of course you're coming, you're coming. What do you mean you're not coming? I flew to your simcha halfway around the world. I put everything on hold. Much money was spent. What do you mean you're not coming? All of us. We don't just see who's there. Where do we gravitate? What do we focus on? What do you mean you didn't make it? What do you mean you're not coming? Not the benefit of the doubt, you did the best you could, and we all do, but Baruch Hashem, we have a lot going on. But we often tend to not see who's there, but to see who's missing. That could be true at a simcha. Chalila, it's true at a shiva. People get up from shiva, and they think not about all those who showered love and support on them, who were there. Very often they'll say to one another, you know who I'm surprised didn't come? You know who I'm surprised we didn't see? It's natural, it's human. But it doesn't help. It's not productive. The better attitude in life is not like Haman and not like Adam and Chava, not to gravitate to what's missing or what you can have, but to see what's there. Hamin ha'etz. So Adam and Chava were told, you can have anything and everything, but this tree, out of bounds. This you can't. So of course, what did they want? What did they focus on? What was missing? What they couldn't have. And they ate from it. They touched it. They ate from it. The Nachash was to blame. And this was the original mistake of the blame game. The blame game. This was the original blame game. Hashem says to Adam, excuse me, sir, didn't I tell you one thing you can't have? Not my fault. She told me to do it. He goes to her, Chava. He says, well, what's going on over here? I said one thing. Not my fault. The Nachash, the snake, told me to do it. Had any of them taken ownership and responsibility, Hashem would have forgiven them. We'd still be in the Gan Eden today. But because they passed the buck, because they played the blame game, because they refused to take ownership or responsibility, we were expelled, chucked out, kicked out. A new beginning in this world that includes each had their punishment. Her punishment was the pain of childbirth. And the snake slathers on its belly. Slithers? On its belly. And what's man's punishment? Bezeas apecha tochal lechem. You'll only earn bread through the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work for that livelihood. That shmorg ain't free. There is no all-you-could-eat buffet in life. You're going to only eat what you kill. You're going to have to make it rain. You're going to have to work. But tzarech lasos hishtadlus kfi hanitzrach. And you'll have to make effort, initiative. Kedesh tiskayim uberachticha b'chol asher ta'aseh. You want the blessing? In Gan Eden, the blessing flowed without work, without effort. But Hashem then recreated a world in which we only receive blessing when we do the work. And when you do the work, you have to do it well. Don't mail it in. Don't do mediocre. Don't do heimish. Excellence. Excellence. Person has to strive for excellence. One of the five core values of our staff here at Boca Raton Synagogue. One of the five core values in our EOS model that are not aspirational that we want to live by, but are the covenant and promise to one another that we live by. One of our five is strive for excellence. Strive for excellence. You got to do it well. You can't do it mediocre. Once someone came to the great Rebbe, Rav Shlomo of Zvil, he wanted to start a new business, ulefachos, mafia, maybe he'll open a bakery, and he said, don't do it. I don't see that for you. Don't open the bakery. He came back to Rav Shlomo of Zvil and he said, but there's another yid, he opened a bakery, he's succeeding. Why'd you tell me not to do it? He succeeds. You know why? He smiles at his cookies and cake. Rav Zalman Brizel haya chasidisha da harbana yid. Uvada lo haya shaku begashm is mashe ishtad lo parnas aso. El is a bitui. Shagam kesha tzarech les asik begashmias tzarech tamid lios besimcha veritzui vela aso so tov. Rav Shlomik of Zil was saying, you don't like cake, you don't like cookies, you like money. You're not opening a bakery because you love what you do. You're opening it because you love to deposit money in the bank. Rav Zalman Brazil, I told to open the bakery because he smiled every time he put a cookie sheet in the oven. He loved what he did. Now, what does that mean? He loved Gashmis? No, says the Gerer Rosh Yeshiva. He was a holy yid. He was a righteous Jew. Of course he didn't love the physical material world, whether it's baking in a bakery or the money he earned from it. What it means is whatever you do, do it well and do it with a smile and do it with joy and do it and get it right. Chevet and I were away a few months ago and there was a server who was taking care of all us and all the tables near us. This was the greatest server we've ever, fair to say, the greatest server we've ever had in our lives. She had a smile. She kept checking in. She knew the exact, she didn't stifle you and suffocate you every 3 seconds. Everything about the way that she took care of you. And we noticed not only did we engage her, like, tell us about where you're from and how long have you been doing this. Every table was blown away by her. There was someone, I don't know if you experienced this, whether it's the valet driver or the person, the bank teller, or the server, or the flight attendant, or your lawyer, your doctor, or every whatever profession. When someone gives an energy and aura that they love what they do, they're happy to be there. It's not only a paycheck. Maybe it's they're not calling. Sure, she has aspirations greater than serving in a restaurant. Nothing wrong with it. But while you're there and while you're doing what you're doing, do it with a smile and do it with joy and do it with a positivity and do it with an energy. It changes the entire experience for the person who's getting it, who's benefiting. And that was what Rav Shlomo of Zvil was saying. Don't go into anything that you can't do with a smile, that you won't illuminate with a smile. By deze hatzlacha, yesh latzlacha v'siyata d'shmaya. Because the Shekhinah Shorah, lo mitoch atzvus. Hashem doesn't dwell where there's sadness and despondency and misery and anger and resentment and bitterness, fabisana. Hashem, like people, want to hang out with positivity, with joy, with smile. So when does he bestow and shower siyata d'shmaya? When you put a smile on your face and you love what you do. And even if you don't love doing it, put the smile on your face and you'll come to. Force yourself to smile. Like the Chovas HaLevavos writes, Shekedai Shadam Ishtal L'Sazek B'Tchum Shunim Shachalav Ki Kishosim Tzrichim L'Asos Tov. When you're identifying and finding what you should do, find something where you think you'll find success. And success is not only defined by how much you'll earn. Success is by, can you do it well? Does it take advantage of your skills? Will you bring a positive energy? Can you smile while you do it? But here's the main point he's making. Whenever we do whatever we're doing work-wise, we have to know it's a game. We're playing a game. We are going through these motions. We are going through this. when you roll the dice while you're playing Monopoly with your family, whether whatever property you're going to land on and will you collect the rent, it's a game. I'm spinning the dice. Maybe I should take the credit. It's up to me. I spun them well. I'm the one who collected the rent. What are you talking about? It's a game. How the dice turned out and what spot you landed on and did you collect the rent? It's all not random and chance, but it's all from above. You think it's any different when you spin the dice of life? I'm not saying you should take the same risk as if you're spinning the dice. And don't bring an attitude that it's a game, because he just said, person has to take seriously and aim to succeed in whatever you're doing. If you're going to do it right. Go big or go home. Do it right or don't do it at all. So critically important. So important. But while we're doing it and doing it right, know that it's a game. Hashem, you're spinning dice. You're going on spots, whether you collect the rent or not. Zeh ma'od ma'od kasheh. And it's very hard to do that, to know, putting out my ad, I'm putting out my marketing, I'm trying to land clients, I'm negotiating a deal, I'm investing in whatever opportunity, and to know I have to do that, and I should do it as well as I can, but the outcome of it doesn't correlate with me, it's from above. I'm just playing the game of Monopoly. I'm just in this matrix. I'm just living this illusion. Avakani nekuda shel olam, masha olam u'mechaseh. How do you say world in Hebrew? Olam. The word olam, etymologically, its root is from he'elam, ne'elam, which means hidden, hidden. We live in this world, but this world is a place of hiddenness. V'yesh la'amo v'la'gil l'bitachon gamar b'Hashem. Work hard and make effort to get to a place that I put my trust in Him. She'ishtadlus lo ya'alam imenu ha'se'idiyah she'Hashem hu ha'roeh. Here's the challenge. Here's your homework. You ready? Your homework, our challenge, is to do effort and initiative, but never in a way which will compromise or take away from knowing He's our shepherd. How can we recognize and realize that the outcome is all up to Him and yet give it our all? They say, work like it's all up to you and daven like it's all up to Hashem. And that's the formula. That's the prescription. That's how we're meant to live. When it comes to the effort we put in, bring your all, your A game. Do your best. Work like it's all up to you. But recognize that the outcome is entirely up to Hashem. That's that balance. Initiative, effort, work, like it's all up to us. Don't be lazy. And don't hide. Don't be lazy and hide as if you have some emunah, that's why you're lazy. Do your best. Give it your all. Go big or go home. A game. Show up. Don't settle for mediocrity. Give it your all. But never in such a way that then goes to your head that you think, I'm responsible, I get the credit, it's all about me, I take pride. Make the effort, but understand that the outcome is all up to Him. Lizkor, saribono shalom. Ladas, shebekachu osa ratzon habori baruchu. Esagzeres melech shebzeres apecha tocha lechem, v'kadosh baruchu ba'atzmahu miftacho. Hashem is our promise. Hashem is the source of whatever success or whatever we experience in our life. Okay, from here, the Ger Rosh Yeshiva then goes to questions and answers on this, and he continues to dive deeper into our great song, Baruch HaGiver Shivtach B'Hashem. Next week, we're Baruch Hashem back on regular schedule, Wednesday morning. We'll turn off and take a couple questions if you have. For those who are in person, always questions and answers. Thank you for being flexible and adjusting to today. And as always, please stay after we're done. Speaking of David HaMelech and Tehillim, we have so much to daven for. There's still a war being fought in the north of Israel. Nebuch, there are soldiers every day that we're losing. Halavai, we don't lose any more. But we'll say Tehillim right afterwards. Those who can stay for a couple minutes, we have time for a couple questions and answers.